So over these weeks, we are thinking about some basic gifts that God has given to his church so that we can really flourish and grow as Christians. And 2 weeks ago, we thought about the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? Last week, we looked at prayer, what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And today, we're thinking about the gift of Sabbath. God has set one day in seven apart so that we can rest, so that we can worship, and so that our lives are reformed, recalibrated, reoriented every week to the living God who loves us and made us to know him and enjoy him. My guess is that this is one of the most neglected gifts of God in the church today. I'm not sure if you agree with this, but you know, you may see it differently, but American Presbyterian pastor Randy Pope, he says this. He says, the Sabbath seems to be the most ignored command in Scripture. Certainly, it is the most violated without remorse. He said, when was the last time you heard someone repent of breaking the Sabbath? Well, I want to say three things about Sabbath rest this morning. There are many more things to say about it than this, but here's a start. Number one, Sabbath rest is about imitating God. That's foundational. It's a pattern set by God himself from the very beginning. Number two, Sabbath rest, therefore, is part and parcel of how life is designed to work. And then number three, Sabbath rest is about God reforming us into his likeness as we understand more of his grace and the rest that is won for us, our inheritance, and the rest of all that we can rest in Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. As we focus on that, so God reforms us into his likeness. So first of all, Sabbath rest is about imitating God. Right from the very beginning, whenever God created the heavens and the earth, he models for us the pattern that human beings are to follow. So Genesis 2, verse 1, after 6 days of creation, we read this. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. So, when we eventually get to the fourth commandment many years later through Moses, it is not a new idea. The Sabbath is not a new idea. It's actually founded on what God did in the beginning when he created the cosmos and then rested. Now, it should be said that God, being God, doesn't actually need rest. So he doesn't need anything, in fact. He is God. He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, independent, all-powerful, glorious and perfect. So he doesn't get tired, he doesn't need a break, and he never goes to sleep. But the point is that his work of creation does not go on and on and on and on and on. After 6 days of creation, the cosmos was complete. It would not need to be resumed or continued in the rest of history. It was finished. And from then on, God's rest is simply to enjoy and delight himself in all that he has created. And arguably, therefore, God is still enjoying his seventh day. So please don't imagine that when it says God rested, let's not think that he switched off or went on holiday or something like that. God never switches off. He's never inactive. Jesus says that in John chapter 5. He says, my Father is always at his work to this very day. So rest does not mean doing nothing. It simply means that God no longer does what he did in those first 6 days. And in that, you and I are given a pattern to follow. You see, all people being made in the image of God are designed to be like him. We're meant to imitate him. And therefore, it's always been true for all human beings everywhere on the planet that we are actually designed to copy this this rhythm of work and rest. Rest being understood not as doing nothing. There are always things to do, right? There's a God to worship. There are people to love and people to serve. And yet we are to imitate God by working 6 days and then having one day when we rest from all that work that we did in the previous 6 days. In other words, it is not to be a day like the other 6 days. It is a holy day, a set apart day, founded not on the law of Moses, but on the pattern that God gives us right at the very beginning. The fourth commandment is very clear about that. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Why? Why does God say this? Because, verse 11, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. Thinking now about our own weekly cycle. God blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. So Sabbath rest is about imitating God. Always has been, right back to Adam and Eve. Second thing, that's foundational. Second thing is that Sabbath rest is part and parcel of how life is designed to work. So think about it. Given that God models for us the pattern that we are to follow right from the beginning, given that he knows us, has designed us, has wired us, in a sense, to follow this pattern, wouldn't it be completely bonkers, therefore, to imagine that human beings could ignore this pattern and still think that all would be well? Imagine you buy some new product that you really love, and you really want to look after this product and care for it. And you open it up and you read the stipulations from the manufacturer. And imagine it says very clearly that the product is designed and wired to be productive for 6 days, but also that it's designed and wired to be rested and recharged every 7 days. And then it gives a warning about what happens if you ignore that. I know it's a crass illustration, because human beings are, of course, not mere products. We're personal beings who are known and loved by the triune God in whose image we are made. But nevertheless, what are you going to say to someone who wants to borrow your product? You're going to say, listen, please look after this, okay? I can assure you that it will seriously malfunction if it is misused. So please know that it should only be worked for 6 days and then rested for a day. Do you understand? And of course, we do understand that. And if we understand that hypothetical situation in relation to mere things, well then how much more should we understand that in relation to human beings? You know, if we would take seriously what a manufacturer says about a mere product, how much more seriously should we take what God says about you and me? The sad thing is that human beings often treat each other like mere products, instead of the divine image bearers that we really are. How often are the demands that are put upon people simply dehumanizing? As people are basically bled dry, used and abused, and then discarded when they're completely burned out. And maybe that's how you feel. Pushed and pushed and pushed to do more and more at the cost of your own health. Maybe, dare I say, that's how people who work for you feel. When God gave his law to the Hebrew people through Moses, it was against this terrible backdrop of how they had been used and abused for 400 years in Egypt. And we can read about it in Exodus chapter 1, how under Pharaoh, the people were oppressed, it says. Their lives were made bitter. They were treated ruthlessly. Indeed, Pharaoh's treatment of the Hebrew people was so bad that he even ordered for their baby boys to be thrown into the Nile. Now, if you're a Hebrew slave and you've been worked and worked and worked and worked, and if that's all you've ever known, what would it do to your heart to hear these words? On the seventh day you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns.
wow,
this ain't no Pharaoh. One day, every week, every single week, when we get to stop and rest and worship, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, it's funny, we often have a very negative view of the law, don't we? You know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, law, how terrible it is to be told what to do. Yeah, really terrible, isn't it, when you're told you have to take a day off. You know, what an amazing gift that God gives to his people in the law. What a liberation it was to live under God's rule instead of Pharaoh's rule. And that's why whenever Jesus teaches on the Sabbath, all those years later, he emphasizes that Sabbath is a gift. The Sabbath was made for man, Jesus says, not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2 verse 27. Isn't it really tragic when people turn that upside down? In Jesus' day, some of the religious leaders had worked, they had worked out 39 categories of work. And one of those categories was carrying a burden. Now, fair enough, carrying a burden sounds like work, so that was prohibited. But what about carrying your child? Is that a burden? Be careful how you answer that. Do you have a really heavy child? The Pharisees said that a small child was okay, but if the child is carrying a stone in his hand, well, that would be a burden. But then, of course, the Pharisees had to work out what constitutes a stone. Is a pebble a stone? You know, so much for the blessing of Sabbath. They turned it all upside down, so Jesus has to remind them, you know, the Sabbath was made for man. It's a gift for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the whole point of it, from the dawn of time, was to be a blessing. God loves his people. He cares for his people. He even cares for the animals. They too are to be given rest. And God cares enough not simply to make a suggestion that his people be careful not to run themselves and each other into the ground. He cares enough to say, this is a commandment. I know you better than you know yourselves. I know how I made you, how I wired you. I know what you need. And I know how to bless you. So put out of your mind this idea that the fourth commandment is not that important. Put out of your mind this idea that you can take it or leave it. You must look after yourselves and each other, God says. That's not optional. You must, insofar as you have the power to make this choice, you must down your tools or your school books for a day, every week. If you're an employer or a parent, then you've got to hear this. As you think about those who are under your care, you've got to set the pattern in your home. Set the pattern at your work if you can. God says, work hard for 6 days and then trust me. Stop working. You must rest and be refreshed. It's built into the very order of creation. Now, of course, people never object to the idea of rest. We just want to work and rest according to the pattern we set. And God says, no, I set the pattern, God says. I tell you how life is designed to work. Now, I know there's an opposite problem as well today, whereby some people may not even know what hard work is. I've heard some of you talk about that. Maybe it's an issue at your workplace. Maybe there's a culture in your workplace of, you know, freeloaders who are always demanding more and more but never actually working hard. Sometimes at work, there's a clash of cultures as well, isn't there? Where people are working together from different parts of the world with very different expectations about what is reasonable in terms of workload, and that's tricky. And then, of course, we're not always at liberty to be able to change the way things are. So sometimes the patterns of work and expectations are so embedded, they're so bound up with many factors that are really beyond our control, that it kind of is what it is, and what can you do? You know, we live in a fallen world, and I get that, and application of this commandment is always going to be complex. But let's be clear. We need this rhythm. We need it. Even the land itself needs it. When God gave the law to Moses, he stipulated that the land that he had given to the Israelites was to lie fallow every seventh year. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 4, God said the land is to have a Sabbath rest. Now, I'm neither a scientist nor a farmer, but I'm given to understand that if you overwork the soil, you eventually make it redundant. If it's going to be life-supporting soil, then it needs time to recover, to be, in a sense, rejuvenated. So, Sabbath rest is about imitating God. Sabbath rest is part and parcel of how life is designed to work. And finally, and really this needs a few sermons on its own, but finally, Sabbath rest is about God reforming us. Our rebellion against God has caused us to be deformed. And we're still made in God's image, but we're deformed. And we need to be reformed. That's what God's salvation is all about. It's about God taking us, loving us, forgiving us, and then remolding us into the likeness of Christ. And he's able to do that, of course, through his work on the cross, whereby he took the penalty for our sin, and then by his Holy Spirit, he begins to change us into the likeness of Christ. And to that end, God gave the fourth commandment. It's not only about rest, it's about reorienting our lives to God. And that's why in the fourth commandment, God says that the seventh day is to the Lord your God. So it's to him, okay? It's not just a day of you know, just sitting about. It's a day that is to him. It's a day when we worship him, when we turn to him, listen to him, feed our souls. And that need has never stopped with the coming of Christ. Now, of course, the coming of Christ has brought changes. We're no longer a nation state of Israel with legislation about how to keep the Sabbath and exactly what it must look like. We don't apply all the details of the Mosaic law. Okay, there's no death penalty anymore. We don't even keep Sabbath on the same day of the week anymore. Things have changed. The early Christians, they chose to apply the principle of Sabbath to the first day of the week, to Sunday, because that was the day in which Jesus rose, and we call it the Lord's Day. So things have changed. You know, what we celebrate on Sundays is not our freedom from slavery in Egypt, but is rather the far greater freedom from the penalty of sin and death through Jesus Christ. But what has not changed is our need to have one day every week devoted to the Lord our God, so that we can be reformed. A day when we are reminded not to trust in the work of our own hands, but rather to trust in what God has done for us in Jesus. When you and I stop and rest and worship, we're making a statement about whose work we're really trusting. It's God's work that gives us an inheritance. It's not ours. What did Jesus cry as he breathed his last on the cross? He said, "It is finished." All the work that had to be done to satisfy God's demands, all of it, it's finished. So that we can now rest in what Jesus has done in our place for our sake, to be right with him today and forever and ever. And that's what this table proclaims. And if we don't stop and refocus every week through rest and worship of Jesus Christ, then how on earth are we going to be reformed into his likeness? We will instead become self-reliant and proud and arrogant. There's so much more to say about this, but may God grant that we do not neglect his gift. Sabbath rest is about imitating God. Sabbath rest is part and parcel of how life is designed to work. And Sabbath rest is about God remolding us, remaking us, reforming us into his likeness as we worship and celebrate what Christ has done.